What is it switch my microphone on. What is it that unites people together? There's probably lots of things, isn't there? You see in lots of ways there's sometimes a common struggle that will unite people together. I don't know if you've been watching the news over the last week, but seeing those communities down in the Blue Mountains that have been ravaged by fire. And already they're starting to talk about how we're going to come together as a community. We're going to pull together and support each other through this hard time. It could be something like that, a common struggle that will unite people and draw them together. If you remember the Brisbane floods a couple of years ago. Thousands of volunteers came out of the woodwork to support each other, to support those who had been affected by the floods. So sometimes there's a common struggle that pulls people together. I was listening a couple of weeks ago on the radio to Macca's program, and he had a song on his program about a common struggle against a common enemy. We're going to play this song to you right now. Now, just as Julie's getting this ready, I want to say that I love the Telstra shop here in town. I think it's great. I think the service you get there is fantastic. The staff there, they just feel almost like family to me. So what we're about to hear is nothing to do with our local Telstra shop, but sometimes, you know, you get a bit frustrated when you ring up for service with Telstra. And this is how Todd's going to play it for us when we find it. It's not the pictures you want to focus on with this. It's the words that you're listening to.
Thanks for calling Telstra. Now talk to this machine. It will sound just like a person with no personality. Press 1-5 if you will. In a far distant place.
Stop it at a minute 45. It's after the first chorus. Okay, that'll do. We'll give Telstra a bit of a break. Because sometimes we are joined together, we're united together by our common struggle against a common enemy. Sometimes there's other things that unite us, isn't it? Maybe a common cause or a common belief. Maybe a common leisure activity. There's all sorts of things that can unite people together. Well, today we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. The next 3 weeks we're going to be looking at what God says in his word about the church. Now, we could take a whole year to do this, but we're going to look at a few different passages over the next 3 weeks to look at some of the things that God says about his church. And we're turning today to Ephesians 4. And I want to focus, I think the key verses there are verses 4 to 6. So have a look at those. What was the page number? 1762? 1762 in the church Bibles, if you got one. And verses 4 to 6, Paul says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." What's the key word? No? One, excellent. We have one. There's this commonality when we're Christians that we share. This experience, the belief, all these things that we share in common. Our understanding, our calling, our knowledge of God, our relationship with God. Those things are things that we share in common as Christians. And Paul says, there is only one Lord, one God and Father of us all. You see, as Christians, we don't pick and choose which God we're going to believe in. If you're a Hindu, you could. If you're a Hindu, you'd know that there are many gods. Here's a picture of a few of them. They look a bit more like superheroes to me. But these are some of the gods that you can choose to believe in. In Hinduism, you can be a polytheist, which means you can believe in many gods at once. Or you can be a monotheist, which means you just choose one god and believe in it. Or even in Hinduism, you can be an atheist, believe in no god at all. And so, you see, in Hinduism, there is not one common belief. I read this quote, Hinduism does not have a unified system of belief encoded in a declaration of faith or a creed. But Paul says, no, we are, as Christians, we have one faith. We believe in one Lord and God. You don't pick and choose. There's only one. Some people might say, well, why is there so much division? You know, don't we see lots of denominations, lots of different traditions existing? Well, there's historical reasons for that. There's leadership and organisational structures that impact on that. There's theological issues, you know, what we think about what the Bible says. And in seeking to work out this one truth, sometimes we can have different opinions and different conclusions, and that means people who have those in common will gather together. But as Christians, we've got to believe in the basics, don't we? All Christian churches will agree on the basics. So, for example, in Narrabri, if you want to belong to the Association of Christian Churches that exists in Narrabri, the Narrabri Combined Christian Churches, in our charter it says, these are the things that we all believe in common. Justification by grace alone, by faith alone. The existence of one God in three persons, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. The humanity and divinity of Jesus, his physical death, bodily resurrection and future return. And the divine inspiration of and the final authority in matters of belief and practice of Scripture. So you can go to any one of the Christian churches in town and we've said that that's what we believe in. That's the things we hold in common because this is our one faith, our one hope, our one calling, our response to our one Lord. We are united on these things and all Christians will have these things in common. And this unity that we have is the solid foundation for God's church. We believe that the church is built on this unity. And as we think about the basic characteristics of a church, we need to be reminded that of this common reality that we exist in, our calling, our belief, our understanding, our experience. Why is this reminder about unity so important? Why is unity such a key thing for us? Does it really make any difference in the life of a church whether it's united or not? What practical difference is it going to make? Well, there's three things in this passage I want to focus in on. And the first one's in verses 1 to 3. It talks about living as one. What practical difference is it going to make if we are one body? Verses 1 to 3. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See, we are called to one body, to belong to in one faith, in one church. And if we're going to do that, we need to live a life worthy of that calling that we have received. And there's a few tough words in there, isn't there? Be completely humble and gentle. Put your hand up if you are completely humble and gentle. Okay, good. No one's put their hand up. Be completely humble and gentle. You see, if we want to build unity in God's church, we need to recognise that others are just as important as we are. And we should never try and assert our rights over others. And then he goes and says, be patient, bearing with one another in love. When people in church aggravate you and I can promise you that there will be times when people in church will aggravate you. Will you keep being kind to them, like God, your heavenly Father, has been merciful to you? Be patient and bear with one another. And this takes a lot of effort, doesn't it? To be unified. Have a look in verse 4, I think that's verse 3, sorry. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It takes a lot of effort to live at peace with one another. I was thinking about this with the camper van and motorhome club of Australia that's invaded Narrabri this week. And I almost crashed into a few of them on the way back here from the west this morning. There's thousands of these people going to live on Coomer Oval, okay? A couple of thousand people living in a very small area of space. And you can imagine to keep the peace at that convention, they're going to have to really work hard at it, aren't they? You might say, well, it's only for a week. You know, for a week you can put up with each other. For a week, it's not so bad. But it's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take effort. I've got to restrict my time in the showers so that I make sure everyone gets a shower. I've got to keep the noise down at night so that I'm not disturbing my neighbours who are trying to sleep. You know, once it's after 8 o'clock, you can't expect to be making noise at night. To keep the unity, it's really going to take a lot of effort for those guys. And that's what it's like for us. Paul is saying to be united, we need to make an effort. It's going to take a lot of effort. We need to live in a way that will promote unity, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. What's the opposite to that? Arrogance, harshness, impatience, being divisive. Look down at verse 31, right at the end of the chapter. Paul says to them, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. This is the church he's talking to. He's saying that's the things we've got to get rid of if we are going to be people who are working to build the unity of the church, living as one. And to live as one, it does require a lot of work. We need to work as one, he goes on to say in verse 7. Look at those verses, verse 7, and then I'm going to skip down. He says, verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And verse 11, go down to verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Who builds the church? Who builds the church there? He says we've got to be working together, doesn't he? Because most people, when you ask that question, who builds the church, that's the minister's job, isn't it? Well, have a look at verse 12. Very interesting words, aren't they? In verse 11, he said, lots of people have different gifts as pastors and teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles. Why? Verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Who builds the church? It's God's people all serving together, isn't it? As God's people work together. The pastors and the teachers prepare God's people for works of service. If you're in a Bible study group, this term you'll know that we're going through an evangelism training set of Bible studies. And that's Paul, as an evangelist, preparing you for works of service. That's us as a church preparing to serve God so that we can build unity. When people come here, I had a guy here last week who was surprised that I wasn't leading the service. It was Tim Mack last week. Yeah, he said, who was that bloke up? No, he didn't. He said, oh, that was interesting that you weren't leading the service, it was someone else. And I said, yeah, no, we have a team of people who get to lead our Sunday services here because it's their works of service that will build the church. We have a team of people who teach in our church, Sunday school, scripture, Bible study leaders, all sorts of people teaching in our church. We have a team of people who have helping roles or caring roles in our church and can deal with people individually. You see, everyone needs to be working as one to build the unity of the church. If you left it up to the minister, it wouldn't grow very quickly, would it? Imagine a building site. Yesterday, as I was walking back from Rappies, the men's breakfast at Rappies, and I noticed the building site. I was talking to Ralph about it, where they put the new group home there. And it's looking fantastic. I don't know if you've seen it. I think it's just about finished. It looks fantastic. And the sign out the front says, Builder Paul Newton. Now, I don't think Paul Newton did all of that building on his own. Would I be right? Yeah, because when we see a building site like that, we know it takes a lot of people to complete that building. It wasn't built by one man. He had offsiders and apprentices. He had contractors, tradesmen, electricians, plumbers, landscapers, plasterers, roofers, brickies, all sorts of tradesmen come and do their work on the site. Imagine if Paul Newton did all of that building work on his own while all the others just watched him. Okay, it'd take years, wouldn't it, for one man to do that. And some of you may not have realised this before, but this is God's design for his church. So is that his people will all work together to build unity by serving each other. The pastors and the evangelists, they're the chief servants, but everyone has a role to use your gifts and your opportunities and your abilities to serve each other and to serve God. Now, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to hear a lot more about this as we look at how we work together and what are the benefits of that. But I don't want to take up too much of that now. And so we need to work together. And what happens if we serve each other for the unity of the church? We'll have a look in verse 14 to 16. This is the result. He says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What happens if we work together as one? We grow as one. That's the great promise, isn't it? We can avoid the pitfalls of these false teachers, of the guys who are coming up with their crafty schemes and their cunning plans, he says in verse 14. We'll avoid that because we're standing together for the truth and we can help each other to recognise error. And we'll avoid that as we speak the truth in love to one another. We won't always agree on everything. But as we speak the truth in love, we will build the unity of this church and we will grow as one. Grow into Christ, who is the head of the body. We're the body. We will know Christ and we will be led by him. The whole body goes. I don't know how many of you have heard of GAFCON. That sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? What is GAFCON? It's a great Anglican thing. It's the Global Anglican Future Conference. And every now and then, all the bishops from around the world who trust the Bible, the Anglican bishops, get together for a conference. There's a couple of pictures of the last GAFCON conference. GAFCON starts next week, I think. And you can pray for our bishop, Rick. He's on his way over to South Africa. Somewhere over in Africa. That's bad, isn't it, to say things like that? Somewhere over there. He's on his way to GAFCON. And it's a great opportunity for the church to build unity around the truth. Because the other way of trying to build unity is to build unity apart from the truth, not committed to the truth. So the question that they're tackling here is there a future for the Anglican Church as one united body around the world? That's part of the question. And they've tried to tackle this in the past. The Archbishop of Canterbury has called conferences at a place called Lambeth in England, and all the bishops get together and they talk about issues that are going to help or destroy the unity of the Anglican Church around the world. And the part of the problem is that they've, at that conference, at times they've been tempted to sacrifice their commitment to God's word and the truth of God's word in order to keep the unity So when the Canadians who have said it's all right to have same-sex marriages in churches, we should be doing same-sex marriages in churches, when they get together with other people who don't agree with that, like our bishops, then there's disunity, and they go, well, don't worry about that. Let's not worry about those issues. Let's just be united. But unity, not based on a commitment into the truth, will just create deep divisions in the worldwide Anglican Church. And what GAFCON is about is saying, no, this is what the Bible says. This is the truth of God's word. We're united in that. That's what will draw us together. That's what will grow us as one. If we speak the truth in love, we will grow in unity. We won't always agree, but we will grow as a body with Christ as the head. Now, next week we're going to have more about growing in the church. It's called The Church, A Great Place to Grow. And so we've seen today that we have one Lord, one faith, one hope. There is one body. We are one as Christians because of those things. Because of our experience, because of our belief. Now, if down the bottom of your white sheets, if you've got a white sheet with the sermon points on it, you'll notice there's our 3 points of our church's, whatever you want to call that. We call it a bit of a vision statement or a mission statement or what we are or who we are. And it says we are these things: gathering together with Jesus, growing together in Jesus, and going together for Jesus. And you notice one of the key words there is together. Because as we work together, we will grow as one. As we live as one and work as one, we will grow as one. And that's the vision that we have for our church, because it comes from the Bible and we believe God's truth. We believe God's word. So the question for us is, are you ready for that? Are you ready to live as one, to work as one, and to grow as one? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for the challenges that we find in your word. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be one, called us to one faith, one Lord, one hope, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And Father, we know that unity and we've experienced that unity, but Lord, we want to grow in that unity. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live as one, to bear with each other, to be gentle, patient, humble. Lord, I pray that you would help us to work as one, using our gifts and opportunities to serve each other. And Lord, I pray that you would cause us to grow as one, so that we can be the body of Christ that you want us to be, with Jesus as our head. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.